Today I'm going to take you on a symbolic journey of discovering and uncovering the medial woman archetype. I'm Athena Laz. I'm a best-selling author, intuitive, and psychologist, and you can see my work at athenalaz.com and my book, Woman Who Dance in the Dark and the Alchemy of Your Dreams, can help you to rediscover the power of your nighttime dreams, but also the medial woman archetype, the seer within. And so today I'm going to share a story with you that I wrote, and it really is a reflection on why the medial woman is important and how we can recognize her in symbols. So get comfortable. The story is called Lila and the Fultrum. I'm delighted to discover the term Bubomais, an old Yiddish word meaning grandmother's tale, or as one online dictionary so eloquently explains, an old wives' tale but a shade more serious. I love that some shade is thrown in, because the Bubomais I'm about to tell you may very well be a reminder that sometimes the path or guidance that we seek the most, the thing that feels most elusive, is indeed right there, so close to us that we can in fact find a reminder of it on our very own faces. This one's called How the Baby Got Its Fultrum, and I heard this story for the first time when I was at a friend's place with their children, and it was told to me straight from the heart of a grandmother who was well into her 80s. The story goes like this. Before you were born, yes, you knew all the secrets of life and death, but at the time of your birth, an angel came and placed her finger on your face, and in that very moment, you forgot absolutely everything. In fact, let it be known that this angel didn't quite place her finger on your face so much as she slapped the space between your upper lip and your nose, and with that, she created your fultrum. As the grandmother tells everyone this story, the kids begin to laugh at this point, and they start to prod one another. Some of the parents begin to laugh as well, but no doubt for a different reason entirely. But the grandmother continues nevertheless, re-emphasizing her point by phonetically sounding out the word fultrum for the children. Fultrum. Yes, say it with me all together, and the children mimic the sound back to her. Many of them now fiercely prodding at one another's faces in an attempt to get to this elusive fultrum. So back to the story, she says. Why would this angel, Lila, why would she do such a thing to you, to us? She did this to us so that we would forget everything, all the ancient secrets of life and death, and so that every morning we would be reminded of this ancient knowing by simply looking at our faces. In Greek, the word fultrum signifies the same space on the face, but it also means love charm. I love this additional layer to the story because it speaks to us in the way myth always speaks to us, or story speaks to us, in the same way dreams and symbols do, by bypassing the ego and going straight to the heart. In this case, the path we seek and the guidance that we require can be found through love's charm. A wonderful reminder that the sacred path of remembrance can easily be accessed when we see and act from a place of love. Later, I go on to discover that the name of the angel Lila actually means night, something that speaks to me in volumes as a dream teacher, psychologist, and intuitive, because it is often in the dark of the night when we sleep and dream, or during the metaphoric dark night of the soul, that we are free to rediscover the very things that we thought we had lost forever. It's also where we meet the medial woman. Through dreams, the unconscious, and the mystic mystery, we can then discover the regenerative powers of the soul, the medial nature, as well as the guide within. Like magic, the parts of ourselves that we thought were lost forever are then reclaimed so that we can live in healthier, more whole ways. I first came to realize that I was well acquainted with the archetypal energy of the medial woman after I'd written my first book, The Alchemy of Your Dreams. But at the time, I hadn't frequently come across her name. In fact, I had never heard of it. There's a reason as to why her name isn't particularly well known, but that's a story for another time. For now, simply imagine that you have a part of you that links your ego and your soul, your mind and your heart, your intellect and your intuition, your individuality and the place you mark for yourself in the world. All these connections are necessary for wholeness, for harmony, for balance. Now imagine that this part of you can also connect you to the intricate web of life and is always communicating with you so that you can be guided and nourished. Archetypally, the medial woman represents the intuitive and mediative functions within the psyche. In my book, Woman Who Dance in the Dark, I show you how to tap into those functions. The medial archetype beckons us towards an inward journey of initiation and awakening so that we can return well, so that we can feel whole. She is the sister seer to any wild woman, and she can appear as a mythic figure, a disembodied voice, or simply a dream guide. There are many symbolic elements to the medial woman. She is the part of you that inherently knows where to go and what to do, the part of you that is always whispering helpful insights if you are open and willing enough to receive them. We're now going to look at a mythical medial woman named Iris, who whispered messages to those who needed them most. So in the time before time, where goddesses and gods roamed the earth, or people believed they did, Iris was a messenger who would carry messages between the sacred and the earthly as needed. She would travel between different realms on the arch of a rainbow, while always relaying messages between people and the divine. As a quintessential rainbow messenger, she would travel to the underworld, move through dreams, convene in the heavens, or just hang out on earth. Her rainbow bridge was her signature mark. And all the while she was doing this, she was always communicating important guidance on the go. And as a result, in myth and story, we see that her involvement changed the course of lives and for the better. There are many tales weaved that tell of her helping and aiding the goddess of love, the Greek goddess Aphrodite. In another tale, she pulled the wounded from battle. She traveled to the depths of the deep dark underworld to deliver helpful messages. And we see that in myth, the stories of Iris are narrative reminders that the medial nature can help us to heal fractured hearts, just like Aphrodite. We can learn to move beyond conflict, and connecting to the medial nature can assist us in receiving guidance and spiritual instruction when we are in the darkness and depths of despair. Like Iris, who descends into the underworld, we too can descend and rise up again. In actual archaeological findings, the Greek goddess Iris is often depicted with very luminous wings, and she holds both a chalice and a staff, and the staff has an infinity sign on the top of it. The chalice was believed to hold water from the mythic rivers of the underworld, which, if drunk, would render one unconscious or far worse. Her wings showing off her ability to take flight, while also showing us the same ability found within our own psyches. The staff with its infinity sign, the never-ending loop of time, a symbolic reminder pointing to a middle path, one paved with balance. All three symbols, the wings, the staff, and the chalice, are reminders of the medial woman's inherent abilities, our abilities, your abilities. We see that we have the ability to commune, that we can drop into the depths and rise up again. If we look at this myth through the lens of depth psychology, we can see that Iris is the quintessential medial woman. Her story teaches us about the medial nature within us. And like Iris, we can traverse different parts of our psyches as well as exploring higher states of consciousness in order to uncover insights, messages, and guidance. Through her story, we are brought close to the medial nature, and through its essence, we are reminded that help can appear from the most unlikely places, especially when we are in the depths of the depths of the darkness, the depths of despair. Remember, Iris can drop into the underworld easily, and she goes and often shares messages with those who are stuck there. And so we see that maybe her most unassuming offering is her ability to adapt, to move with conditions instead of fighting against them, releasing the how for right now. The medial woman's collective inner whisper is becoming a loud plea in a world dichotomized by extremes. I hear her shout, "Balance is key and harmony is medicine." I'll never forget my own disappointment on reading about an eco-scientist who had spent a really large portion of his life finding really effective solutions to stop or to help stop the destruction of nature, only to discover that science couldn't solve the issue. First, people who got in the way would need to be dealt with. And so in a way, we see that this was also one of the founders of psychology, Carl Jung's greatest fear, in a way. That is the rejection of the intuitive, the spiritual, and natural aspects of the world in favor of hyper-rationality. In other words, the lack of balance between intellect and intuition, or nature and modernity, and the severe consequences that we feel in the world as a result. It doesn't take a lot for us to see that many of these things have materialized. Most of us are well aware with the disheartening news, massive loss of natural life. The thing is, we don't need to spiral into the overwhelm of it all. Instead, what we can do is build a bridge between us, between nature, between us and them, between whatever it is that we feel we are apart from. And so, who better to help us build a bridge than a woman who traverses a rainbow one, a mythic woman who is within us all? Iris is the medial woman. She is one facet of the medial woman archetype. And now I want to say something. A rainbow bridge isn't simply a cute instrument in a storyteller's toolkit. It isn't me just sharing a symbolic look at it. It is a bridge of consciousness spoken about by many ancient wisdom traditions. The Norse, Hawaiian, Japanese, Buddhist, Cambodian, African, Navajo, Hopi, and Chumash traditions all have stories that depict the rainbow bridge in one form or another. We saw the Greek tale of Iris and her version of the rainbow bridge. We see that this bridge of consciousness is symbolically represented in many cultures. And the most common theme underlying these different traditions is that the bridge connects the divine with the earthly. And then depending on the story, or who gets to travel on the bridge is specific to each culture. Sometimes it's gods or divine beings, and other times it's just regular people. And so now you're listening to this and I'm sharing this. And as modern people, we can choose how we look at this rainbow bridge. We can perceive it through the lens of mythology, archetypal psychology, spiritual instruction, or simple storytelling. We could sit for hours speculating about which is truer and more accurate. Heaven could be seen as a symbol of the divine nature within us all, or it could be an actual place in the afterlife. Or as an Incan medicine woman told me, it can be a spiritual place where we can go to in the here and now if we travel on the bridge of consciousness, the rainbow bridge. As a lucid dream teacher, I'm with the medicine woman because I know that different states of consciousness and places can be accessed through lucid or active dreaming or higher states of consciousness, as well as through cultivating a connection with the medial nature within. There are many ways to tap into that level of consciousness. So did you know that no two people can see the same physical rainbow in exactly the same way? According to Alistair B. Fraser, a professor of meteorology, this is because each person sees the rainbow around the head of his or her own shadow, meaning that your physical shadow influences the way you see and experience a rainbow. Or in this case, a rainbow bridge. So the analyst in me knows that our own internal and cultural shadow can influence our ability to perceive things clearly. Just think about a situation that keeps coming up in your life, and it's very likely that there's some shadow aspect playing out that you are not aware of. And so we see this is why we have so many different stories for the same numinous or spiritual experiences or for the same spiritual bridge. Because we are all viewing our realities through the specific lenses of the cultures we are born within. And with it, our stories become unique, even though our experiences are actually similar. So by listening to ancestral stories, we are then offered unique medicine for each cultural shadow. And by meeting the medial woman, the quintessential rainbow traveler, we come to transcend the cultural overtone we find ourselves with entirely. And so my wish for you is simple. It's time to become the rainbow bridge between worlds, the modern medial steward of the earth, someone who is unafraid of receiving guidance directly from the soul and sharing that with others. It is time to explore higher states of consciousness, and the medial archetype can help you access that. I hope you enjoyed listening to these stories.